You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to a fun change up of the podcast. We're going to be doing things a little differently here in 2020, back from vacation. Lots of self-awareness, self-analytics, trying to be better myself in an effort to help you be better as well. Lots of learning to go on, as many of you know, and that's why you're here. And we thank you for being here as always. Thank you again for leaving us a review. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show with a friend. And thank you for asking all of your drone friends whether or not they've commented on the remote ID proposal. Don't forget, share the guide on how to comment, the problems to solve, droneadvocacykit.com. Check it out. But happy to be back from vacation. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob. It's been a while since we've been in these chairs. How was your vacation?
I think it was great, but I don't really think people care at all. So let's go ahead and get into the show, because that's why we are here. And I don't really want to talk about myself really at all. So I am really excited to be here with you, Rob.
I'm excited too. This is awesome.
We've got a fun and informative show coming to you today. As one particular user is really questioning, well, is the Phantom 4 Pro Video really better than, let's say, the Mavic 2 Video? That's going to be our question today. And I think for the next couple months, while Remote ID is going on and we are focusing on the fly-in, I don't think I'm going to accept any sponsorships as of right now, and rather just push the classes, because we want to show you guys that, like, we're here to be truly objective. And we want to make sure that you understand that we're really, really trying to give you the best information possible.
And so, forgive us for the failures in the past.
True.
Regarding that goal.
True.
Because there have been some.
There have been many failures on my part, too. So about also representing this company. Well, anyway, that being said, we all grow, we all evolve, which is why, government agencies shouldn't be collecting data on you and labeling you. It's because we are humans, we evolve, and we get better. And it's hard for any machine to predict whether we want to get better or not, which is why you should be fighting the remote ID proposal. And it makes me wonder, Rob, you know, 1 year later, the FCC finally admits that wireless carriers broke federal law by providing location data on all of their users. Which brings me to the question, how does the FAA expect any drone pilot to comply with the proposed remote ID rules when it breaks federal law as well? At least if I understand tracking pilots as written in the proposed remote ID. But anyway, today's question is brought to you by our two upcoming classes. We asked ourselves, what was the best class that provided or created the best pilots possible? And we thought about some of the best pilots that have ever come through here. You know, Paul Nordine, great cinematographer, DP. He's just now controlling one of the biggest drone teams in the country. Went to subject tracking class. Josh Baker, he's a DroneU instructor, but his business has been flourishing. And he's like, well, I've just got the skills to pay the bills. He's like, literally, when you show people that you can fly low and close to stuff and get shots that no other pilot is able to get, he's like, selling yourself is incredibly easy. So it made me think, Rob, how can we step up the reputation of DroneU pilots even further? Well, that's why we're taking the subject tracking class. We're adding an extra day. That way we can go over advanced video. The advanced videography class that's online that we did in Mexico about 4 years ago, well, those advanced flight motions to get buttery smooth motion to really add depth and perspective to your shots, again, crushing the competition with your skills. Well, if you want to know that and how to do subject tracking, fly over water and practice in an environment that is unlike any other. If you're like me and you believe Kay Anders Ericsson's model of the perfect practice model, then you're not going to want to miss what has become the Top Gun program of drone training. I'm talking about the subject tracking class. We just launched all the information on our Facebook page. We also just launched it today on YouTube. You can check it out. You might notice that class is a little bit longer and also a little bit more expensive. Why? It's a retreat style class. So you're going to have a lot of extra time with all the instructors, myself included, to ask your inquisitive questions and to get maybe answers of questions that have just been burning at you for months and months. If that's the case, then join us at this retreat. I promise you won't want to miss it, as so many people will be talking about it. March 6th through 8th in Austin, Texas. And you can sign up if you just go to bit.ly/subject-tracking-austin. Now, I know some of you have issues with our bit.ly links and we're moving over to a new system, but whenever you do type a bit.ly link, you have to type in https://bit.ly/subject-tracking-austin. It is on our Facebook page, also just posted it on Twitter, so you should be able to find it below. Also have some great news. I'll make this quick because I made that long. Great news about the fly-in. Mm-hmm. Make sure you sign up for the fly-in, droneufly-in.com. We're really not doing any other in-person trainings between now and the fly-in other than what's on the schedule for Austin and Dallas. So make sure you join us for the fly-in. And you know, Rob, I just got a crazy cool update from Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
They're going to be giving us two stage coaches and we're going to be crashing them together. And they're actually in a movie that's being filmed right now. And I'm super excited to say there's going to be a fake film set that we can fly and map the stagecoach crash. And also, you're going to get the sense of what it's going to be like to be on a real set. And that's actually because our conference was in the middle of a film shoot that we didn't know about. And we were actually able to find a very creative solution to work with Netflix. And the fly-in just got 100 times cooler. So if you want to fly 20 flight missions, a drone conference unlike any other, that's because we actually fly because we actually know how to. So we're going to be taking you out there for a conference that you will not forget. It'll challenge you in ways that you really haven't been challenged to up your skill. You're going to be able to learn from like-minded individuals, and you're going to be able to compete against other pilots to create beautiful, smooth footage that you can use to market yourself and put in your portfolio. You can also compete to be the best drone mapper. I'm excited to say Pix4D will be there. I'm pretty sure Drone Deploy will be there as well. We're expecting Skydio to be there as well, in addition to Skywatch will be there as well. They will be at the mixer. Really excited about that. So 20 flight missions. Yep. If you're working on your business, we added another class to the business program as an upgrade, free upgrade actually. Angad Singh will be teaching two classes, one on disaster management and also another one on the top 10 lessons learned of mapping in the field, which coming from someone like him, I think is pretty valuable.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That is a new... You heard it here first, because so did I.
And sometimes that's how it goes, because that's how much stuff is going around
here. By the way, one of the questions that we get, particularly after people have read, and they've gone to droneufly-in.com, and they've read about it, and they've gotten a little bit intimidated by it, and said, gosh, sounds like it's going to be pretty intense. You've got the word challenge in the title, and competition you keep mentioning. So one of the things that we did to try to help with that was add Flight Mastery class on Friday, right?
Yes. And you know, I just had this like random executive decision in the company to say from now on out, any drone class we do, Flight Mastery is no longer optional. It's required. And that's because everyone who attends Flight Mastery is like, yes, this is the drone flight school class everyone should take. It is systematic through and through and builds your habits to a point where you gain a level of confidence that frankly you haven't had before. And I promise you that. I'm not just trying to say it to brag. There are people who have gone to our mapping classes and they hear from other people about Flight Mastery and then come to another class just to go to Flight Mastery.
I think we have three of those in Dallas already.
Yeah.
And that very specific person that you just described.
Well, the thing is that you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't trust, it's hard to take that leap of faith and work on yourself.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes. I think we might be doing a little bit of talking about pricing relative to that since it's required now, but we'll get that figured out. So keep an eye out for that. I know some of you may be listening who have already signed up. I am making my own executive decision that this is not a retroactive decision. So if you already signed up for a mapping class or a mapping boot camp and you did not plan on going to Flight Mastery, number one, I might be so bold as to say your loss. But number two, we won't make you if you've already signed up for the boot camp.
Oh, I see what you're doing with retroactive now. Okay. I like that.
But
you're being fair. It's the worst word in the dictionary, but yes.
I don't know about the worst word in the dictionary.
It's the most manipulative word in the English language.
And yet, it's more about how you use it than whether you use it, right? Even Chris Boss says that.
Respectfully disagree.
No, doesn't he say? He says to start out a conversation by saying, I want you to be treated fairly by us. If at any point during this conversation you don't think you're being treated fairly, please let me know. He says that.
He does say that.
Okay.
He does say that.
And your thoughts on that are?
I'm not going to elaborate because I think that book is...
He's moved on.
No, no, no.
He's enlightened.
No, 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 no. Well, that book and Laws of Human Nature together are like the ultimate powerhouse. But for anyone who has ever heard us say you should read that book and hasn't read it, you've already lost $100,000 of value, at least. And I... two, three dozen different ways. And the reason I don't
personally,
even...
I don't want people that we have to negotiate to read it.
Well, exactly. That's why I'm like, you know what? I'm not talking about it anymore because it's so powerful. I honestly don't want certain people to know about it. So,
that's
right. Merry Christmas.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Anyways, y'all are special.
Yeah, well...
thank you for listening. That was a really long intro.
It was, but you know what? Anytime you listen to a Joe Rogan podcast, it's about 10 minutes of ads. And instead of ads, we're just telling you what's going on here at DroneU. So why don't we go ahead and move on? Check out the flyin, droneuflyin.com. To Rob's point about everyone talking about competition and a challenge, you will be given very, very, very specific instructions. Which
it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's not all about the competition. There's going to be plenty of people there that are just there to have a great time, learn what you can. Network, be in Santa Fe. If you've never been to Santa Fe, bring your significant other. They will love hanging out in Santa Fe and going to galleries and so forth. It's going to be an awesome time.
You know, I will say, why is it a competition? It's a competition to gamify.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea. You're gamifying the conference. That way you're pushing people to get more out of the conference. It's that simple. DroneUFlyIn.com. Check it out.
Hello, this is John with Raven Visual Solutions in Central Oklahoma. I'm a longtime listener, and what I've learned from your podcasts has been really invaluable for me. I want to thank you for this. Today, I have a question about the Phantom 4 Pro V2, specifically the V2. First, in multiple recent podcasts, Paul, you've mentioned that you believe the P4P video is superior to the Mavic 2 Pro. Can you explain to us in more detail why you have this opinion? Any help you can give on this would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the detailed question. And I'm actually looking forward to hearing Paul's response to this. I think I have a semi-good idea of where he's going to go with it, but it's a great question. And I think there are definitely benefits to working with that Mavic 2 Pro. They're a lot of fun. I know there are issues with stability and higher winds and some things like that that are pretty obvious. Pros to the side of the Phantom 4 Pro V2 or Advanced. I guess it doesn't really matter, right, in terms of
that I don't think it does.
Issue,
yeah, this is a P4 Pro, and the way you can tell is the sensors on the side. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, the sensors on the side. Anyways, thank you for the question. AskDroneU.com. If you have a question, we want to hear from you, and we want business questions. We want to hear... actually, you know, one of the things that we've gotten criticized for over the years is that we talk so much about DJI stuff. Well, that's what the questions are about, right? So ask questions about a different drone.
They do represent 80% of all the drones.
Yeah, and perhaps we'll get into those.
I want to get more and more and more and more and more into Cinewhoop. After flying those low-key drones here, dude, I've caught the bug again. Like the level, like, you know.
Especially with bumpers on it.
Oh, dude. Oh, dude, I've totally caught in the bug again. Like, and
why don't we just get a couple? If nothing else, we can fly them around the office.
So you guys heard that, right? He just approved me buying them. Okay, I'm going to buy them as soon as the show's over.
Subject to...
Anyway, let's get into the question, okay? One point I want to make just really quick. Whether you're shooting video with a Mavic 2 Pro or a Phantom 4 Pro, one of the most common things that I actually hear about filming with these two particular drones, Rob, and I think this may surprise you, is actually how, and I'm going to use this word, other people have not used this word, but I'm going to use this word, is which drone is more quote-unquote clandestine. Again, I use that word. People don't really use that word. They use other words. And I think it's actually a really important point because, you know, based off of these two drones, with the Mavic 2 Pro, once that thing is about 50 to 75 feet away, pretty much no one can hear it or see it. And so you really don't get the reaction from people, like a negative reaction, and there's no opportunity for reaction, which is, I think, why a lot of people like using that drone. And it's understandable. The Phantom 4 Pro is not as clandestine, and you can definitely hear it even at 400 feet. So, and that's twofold. Why is that? Well, the Mavic 2 Pro has two design elements that make it so quiet. One is the winglet on the props, and two is the folding props. So those props actually, when it's hovering, just vibrate enough and move enough so that they're not always in a perfect straight line, because you have what's called retreating blade stall. So essentially, it's not a full-blown stall, but you have some of the effects of retreating blade stall, which essentially create this extremely stable propulsion pattern, which is really, 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 really awesome. I think you can
see... And that leads to more quiet props. Okay.
Interesting. I think you could actually see that on a Phantom. I think that could... If they design a new Phantom, I could see that on a new Phantom. You know, because everyone's so worried about how quiet their drone is.
Yeah.
But he asked a good question. Why are we so adamant about filming with, or videoing, excuse me, with a Phantom? And for me, it's actually a very simple equation. This drone shoots a true 4K 60 feed. Why is that important to me? First of all, broadcast standard is 1080, or excuse me, 1920 by 1080 at 5994. Okay, 5994 is the same codec that's used as this 4K codec. So if I want to shoot any footage for the news or for anything that's broadcast ready, it's super easy to just downsample and you're good to go right there. All right. Cannot do that with the Mavic 2 Pro. All right. Mavic 2 Pro does not shoot 60 frames. There's added benefits to shooting 60 frames a second. And I'm going to talk about, you know, I know everyone loves to shoot 24 on the ground. It looks very natural. It looks great. But even if you're in a 24 timeline, when filming with a drone, you're going to want to shoot at, say, 48 frames or 96 frames, because you're going to get a you're going to have so much more play, more editing flexibility with the footage once you are done flying. Oftentimes when we're flying events, oftentimes when we're flying jobs, you really only get the opportunity to fly a subject once, maybe twice, okay? Which is why you want to capture as much as you can with the most flexibility possible to do as much with the image as possible to satisfy the client or yourself. When shooting at 4K 60, we can clearly do two things. Number one is crop into the image. Remember, 4K is literally 4 times 1080. So we can crop into that image and not get any loss of the image quality if we are posting at a full 1080, okay? Now, in addition, we can also slow that footage down 50% with, again, out any loss. So if I want to slow down my footage to give it more of a mesmerizing, slow, beautiful feel as we are transversing over the cliffside. Like, you want to be able to slow it down. It's all about the feel. Essentially, as a drone pilot, you are making people feel a certain way. And as soon as you start thinking about your footage and the way that it makes people feel, you might start thinking about how you fly and why every time you fly, every movement should be smooth, because that's your ultimate practice. Now, that being said, 4K 60 allows us those 2 points of extreme flexibility. I can also shoot 4K at 48 frames. So if you're working with a production that's shooting a 24 frame timeline, you can also shoot 48. Why do you want to shoot 48 instead of 24? Everyone's like, well, the human eye natural blur is at 24 frames per second. It's actually 23.97.
Apparently Trump has chimed in on this issue.
Sorry. But, but anyway, while yes, that is true, typically these ground cameras never move faster than 10 miles an hour. All right. Whenever you move faster than 10 miles an hour without an ND filter at 24 frames a second, you're getting the shutter speed that just makes, you know, the footage look like it's chopping. And it's so funny because we were watching National Geographic last night and they had aerials over the Grand Canyon. And I was like, oh my gosh, that footage sucks so bad. And Sarah's like, why are you so negative? And I was like, you know what, babe? You're right. There is still such a killer opportunity to get better footage for National Geographic. And she's like, what's wrong with the footage? And I'm like, well, once I show you, you're never going to be able to not notice it again. Are you sure you want me to show you?
You're cursed for life.
And she's like, I want you to show me. I said, okay, look at the cliff edge as the footage is moving. What do you see? And she's like, it looks like we're taking 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. And I said, exactly. I said, it doesn't look natural to your eye. you're now noticing it all over the image. And she was like, oh yeah, I see what you're saying now.
Let's watch something else.
Well, if you guys are like me, I'm sure your wives have been like, stop mentioning the drone footage and everything you watch.
I'm sure you're not alone.
So anyway, that being said, you know, we talked about the subject tracking class because it was very relevant to this question. But in part of that class, we go over the pre-flight workflow of setting up your camera to, you know, be two times the shutter speed is two times the frame rate. We talk about using ND filters to get that natural blur effect at higher frame rates as well. And we explain why you want to film at these higher frame rates, because your vehicle is moving at a very high rate of speed, typically. And, you know, when filming at 24 frames per second from the sky, while yes, you can work with your timeline and your ground footage at 24, I would, again, just recommend doubling or quadrupling the frame rate at 24 when you are flying to reduce the issues. And personally, I still won't do it. I will fly at 60 frames pretty much lock, stock, and barrel every single time, because I've filmed enough footage that I know I want that flexibility. I know that if I have some weird rando in the bottom right corner, I can just crop in a little bit and it's still going to look great.
Yeah. So basically, everything that you just described is a no-go with a Mavic 2 Pro.
Well, a Mavic 2 Pro doesn't shoot 4K 60.
Right.
It shoots 4K 30, and it's really not even 4K 30. It's more like 3.75K. at 30.
So
I say that because the edges are always just not sharp. They're just, it's funny, I didn't even notice it at first either. And then I started really watching my footage and I was like, dang it, I'm gonna have to use 2.7K on the sensor.
So
let me clarify that. On Mavic 2 Pro, whenever I use it, I typically shoot 2.7K at 60 frames. And yes, I am aware that that gives you more of an anamorphic look, because it's not really a true 10x16 versus the 9x16 aspect ratio on the Phantom, but it does change the aspect ratio just slightly, and I don't know why.
Okay. So can you, I don't know, maybe this is difficult to do verbally, but how does this manifest practically in the real world as far as this footage and how, as the viewer, it's going to affect me?
Great question. Let's say you're hired to film, San Felipe de Niro? Is that the church in the plaza?
Mm-hmm.
Santa Fe?
One of them, I think.
Okay. You're asked by ABC News to capture the snow at San Felipe de Niro in the morning when the plaza is not full of people, so that you have a legal flight, okay? So you have a very small window to capture snow, okay, with no people in the plaza of the church, okay?
Okay.
Now, I just gave you a couple key points. What needs to be on our drone? We're flying. Let's say we have 3 miles of visibility, okay? So
okay.
Just to clarify, it is still a legal flight.
Okay.
All right. What is something I'm going to need on my drone to make sure the footage is captured properly? Snow.
I'm assuming some sort of filter.
ND filter to slow down the shutter speed.
Okay.
Because we're going to get a lot of reflectance from the snow and the image is going to be a lot brighter. That's going to drastically affect our shutter speed.
Okay.
So if we went out there and let's say we shot Mavic 2 Pro at 24 frames per second, we did not use an ND filter, the footage is going to look like absolute garbage and you could have just lost a huge contract and potential future gigs with ABC News.
Okay.
Do you understand why you may want to use a Phantom? Because you can shoot at 60 frames. You would have the ND filter to give you the natural look. It's broadcast ready. Okay. So you could literally just hand them the file and it's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's in the right codec. So if you flew the Mavic 2 Pro and not the Phantom because you didn't know these three nuances to flying in that environment, you just lost a huge opportunity in the future. In addition, your window of time closed and you can't get the footage for their nighttime reel. And now you're done with you.
Very interesting. And so it's all really interesting to me, because ultimately you're not necessarily directly concerned with the broad viewership, you're concerned with the client, because the broad viewership,
they don't know what they don't know.
They don't know what they don't know, but they do know when they see something that it's not quite right.
Correct.
They just can't articulate it, but they don't like it. But the people that are your client, they know that.
Yep.
And so they're going to make you have the quality that you need in order to not have the broad viewership not like it.
Correct.
Very
That's why you get these like awful Rotten Tomatoes reviews of some movies.
Yeah.
And the storyline is great. It's just how they shot it. And you're like, ooh. And I think one of the best videos that I've ever seen explain this whole, it doesn't seem natural, thus I don't like it, mm-hmm. is a group did, and Howell showed us this video, this group did a YouTube video of the 180 rule. When you're shooting an interview, the 180 rule. And they explain why if you don't follow the 180 rule, people start not being able to follow the story because they're looking at the screen trying to figure out what's going on. And you literally lose the attention.
So interesting. The mind is amazing.
It really is. So anyway, that also goes to show why setting up these, just like in flight mm-hmm. rules, setting up these standards, you're systematically eliminating problems that threaten your future in this industry. Mm-hmm. This is also why I love this industry, because I never believed that I would ever be able to be so systematic. You guys and girls have watched me on this show. Haven't really represented the women very well, and I can do a better job at that. But you guys have watched me grow, and you've also watched me understand how even I can be systematic. If someone as ADD and lack of focus driven as I am can become as systematic to be a good pilot, I truly believe anyone can.
Sure.
And why I love this industry is because it rewards the people who systematically eliminate liability, who practice safety, and who push their skills, which is why we're launching our new program this quarter to take pilots from zero to hero in the way that the data has shown us has worked. So
yeah, awesome, awesome. And by the way, one of the reasons I asked the question the way I did is because I know there's probably a lot of people out there that say,
why does this matter?
Who can really tell? Why does it matter?
Yeah.
Right? But it does matter, at least if you want to be at the upper echelon of what you do.
I don't even think it's about that anymore. I think the only people who are surviving in this industry are in the quote unquote elite basket.
Well,
look at,
okay.
Seriously. And even look at our elite instructors and look who's been successful. It's the people who are willing to learn, constantly push themselves and understand that it takes buy-in, you know?
Yeah. I like to, it's a new thing that I was,
quick starts. That's what it is.
Quick starts. I was talking to a friend this morning and I was thinking of it in terms of like the Kobe Gates effect. And that is those people who have tremendous talent, but they match it with tremendous effort and work ethic. Those are the people that you're talking about.
Yes.
And by the way, you can overcome not being the person with the most tremendous talent by being the one who does have the best work ethic and the smartest approach to that work ethic. So anyways.
And now you understand my email signature from the last 6 years.
Yes.
Sorry.
Anyways, wow. So that was only half of his question.
Well,
should we go into the next one or do a new podcast?
I think
on it?
We're going to have to do another podcast.
All right. It's
frankly,
agreed.
I went so deep into that, I've lost track of what the second part of the question was. But do appreciate everyone who has listened here, ladies and gentlemen. It really does mean a lot to us. It is now the time to unify together between drone pilots, FPV pilots, commercial, and hobby to fight the proposed remote ID rules. You have got to comment on the NPR. For remote ID. I don't frankly see how it goes through, Rob, especially after the FCC just admitted that all these wireless carriers are breaking federal law by sharing location information on the consumers, which remote ID would just take that to a whole new level. I don't see how this goes through, frankly, at all. And I'm hoping to organize the biggest public legal fight of all time against the FAA if this actually does go through. Because, you know, by the way, I don't know if you've been seeing this, but since I've been gone, the FPV community, I feel like I'm connecting more with the FPV community than literally most of our own community, because these people have the passion and the drive to fight for what's right. And they are planning a protest in D.C. Wow. I love it. I'm
That's
like,
awesome.
I want to go.
It is the age of the protest.
Hey, well, when people don't listen and money controls all, that's all we got.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's very much warranted. And by the way, we're under 30 days.
Yeah, it is.
Before the comment period ends. I mean, it seems like yesterday that this started, right? And that was over 30 days ago. So don't wait is my point.
And also ask everyone you know if they've commented. DroneAdvocacyKit.com make sure you download it. It can really help understand the problems, present solutions, and we worked with the FPV community on that as well to cover all the gamut. In fact, I saw on Reddit, someone was like, you just posted this because FPV FC posted it. And I was like, come on, man, you're an internet troll and you don't even have internet smarts. I'm like, archive.net, who posted it first? I'm like, and why does it matter?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, GFY, man.
That person is not worth the breath. Or the keystrokes.
Seriously.
We don't need that.
Oh, man.
Don't need that.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. Please leave us a review or subscribe. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Dronio.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.